I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel. Don't tell the other podcasts. I should go.
I figured this story was a little befitting of what we were going to be talking about tonight. And I don't know if I have a point to this, because I'm almost tempted to do story time, which might be the earliest I've ever done story time.
We never let off with story time.
And now, it's time for another edition of the winded, nostalgia-filled ramblings of Adrian King in a segment we like to call Storytime. Here is your host, Adrian King.
So, at this time, I'm like a year out of high school, a kid that I was kind of tangentially friends with during high school. We actually now like hanging out like full-time. And it's basically the two of us for a while. And a mutual classmate we're also hanging out with, who was dating somebody at the time, they invited us out to a concert. And it was kind of cool. So I'm like, oh, what band is it? And the name of the band is I Kid You Not, Feeling Left Out. So I'm like, okay, we're going to some emo vibes here, right? So
yeah,
basically we go to this show, and I don't even remember if it was a venue. It honestly, looking back, it feels like either a coffee house or a VFW hall. All I remember was there were no chairs, and we all sat on the floor, and it was like an acoustic emo band.
I was hoping it was like, what the fuck is up, Denny's?
I wish it was, because like, you got to think about 2004, 2005, 2006. Feeling Left Out could be like 8 different styles of bands.
1000%.
So I'm thinking it's going to be like, oh, it's going to be My Chemical Romance light. It's going to be someone doing like off-key clean vocals. And then, of course, there's your harsh vocalist who's also off-key. And they're doing like a Treyu type vibes. But we get there and it's just acoustic songs about like this girl you're falling out of love with. And it's like, and I'm like, what is this? As always, the darkest kid in the room, the oldest person in the room, because I'm like maybe like late teens at this point. And like everybody here is like almost 15, 16, and everybody looks like they're going through it. And I'm like, I do not belong here. And then I proceeded to buy like all of their CDs.
Aww.
So then the rest of that summer got hella emo for various reasons. And all I know is I don't even know if that band's together still, but like, it was kind of a fun time.
Yeah.
They really just came. He's like, hey guys, do you like sadness? Like, are you feeling left out? I was like, well, here you go. It had such like youth group vibes.
I'm picturing like a really bad version of like Margo and the Nuclear So-and-Sos.
Oh my god, that's a band I love so much.
Same.
All right, well, I've decided we're gonna talk about Margo and the Nuclear So-and-Sos. We're gonna cut to the theme song real quick.
I didn't prep for that at all.
The number of times I think you yelled something close to that in the 10 year of our friendship.
It's like my version of I wasn't supposed to be here today.
Dead ass. That is 100% what that is. Oh, man.
You are listening to Talking Like a Teen, the podcast where we have a tendency to rush back into our past. I am a faded pair of purple chucks with rainbow laces.
And I am 97 songs that Ashley is very not thrilled with.
Those were my shoes in high school. Those shoes are the reason I have flat feet now.
Okay, to be fair though, and this is not an ad, but as someone who's been exclusively wearing them for about 15 years, if not close to 20 now, whatever. Arches be damned. I don't care. They're rad as shit.
Between all of the Converse shoes, then flats became cool. Then I did a stint at Old Navy and bought too many pairs of cheap flip-flops. My feet are just destroyed now. So, like, take it from me, your elder millennial parent, like, arch supports. you can still wear cool shoes. Just put arch supports in them. I know you're going to feel like you're 60 years old. They feel weird. I get it. Just take care of your feet. That's our ad read from Dr. Schultz.
We have officially sold out. We have bought it to Bigfoot. Oh, that was bad. No. Wow. No.
Yay, Bigfoot.
No. That is not staying in. I just
peaked the mic so bad. God. All right. Well, this is happening.
Oh, man. So, yeah, this is going to be fun. So, I don't remember why I came up with this idea. I figured it is 2005, and I know, at least for me, and I know we've talked about this on past episodes, because there's a small but at least significant enough age gap to where, like, my senior years don't quite line up with Ashley's. So 2005 is, like, the last of, like, mine, and probably not even a start of yours, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember. When do your senior start again?
Some of the bands that end up being, like, my favorite of that genre are beginning to put out albums. But it's a weird time for me in my life. So where were you? Tell us. Give us a picture into the life of Adrian in 2005. What were you doing in 2005?
So 2005. So this is the year of too many jobs.
Okay.
Beginning of 2005, I worked as, and I don't know why I ever got this job, a collection agent.
I cannot believe that you did that, especially as a child.
This is only my third year of working. Okay, so it's like fourth. Because I usually would do like a summer internship at like a utility company. Like it's basically office job doing like bullshit clerical work and like data entry.
Mm-hmm.
So the beginning of 2005, I'm working as a collection agent. Got fired on St. Patrick's Day and I went home on the drunk train that was heading to Jersey City. That was fun.
Sick.
After that, I went back to the office job that I would do over the summer. And that year, I'm like, oh, so where's my cubicle? They're like, cubicle? Oh, no, you idiot. You're actually going to be working out in the yard.
Doing what?
This is the year where we're working out of like a storeroom. So like we have guys that would go out on the road that would do like repairs on like, you know, pipes and like roads and stuff like that. The actual construction stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And basically our job was cleaning up the back lot, sweeping, organizing all like the fixtures and stuff. There was literally nothing for us to do. We just sat in orange shirts and like steel-toed boots and just sweat a lot all day.
Okay. Your Bruce Springsteen era.
The reason why that in and of itself is so impactful to me is because, all right, so this is, you know, my hometown. It's predominantly Black Hispanic area. And most of the other kids, much like myself, were either Black or Hispanic. And there's this one kid, I'm going to call him Jason, because I'm not going to use his real name, who was the one sole white guy out of this whole group, who I guess also was feeling left out, because the whole time he's talking to us, he's trying to like ingratiate himself with us by like downloading like really popular like rap ringtones and stuff.
Got it.
And we clowned him for it, being like, dude, you don't have to like pander to us. Like we like whatever. Cause we spend a lot of time just talking about music and movies and stuff. I don't know if I should tell the playlist story. It might be deemed a little problematic, but it's not me. These are not my words. It's something someone else said, and which is why he basically became, because one day he's like, oh, what are you listening to? Which is always my favorite thing, when someone's like, what are you listening to? And I hand him my iPod, and it was a playlist at the time, and it's literally just Ani DeFranco, Tori Amos, Tegan and Sarah, Alanis Morissette, and his face, like, he legit looked like somebody had, like, you know, broke wind in front of him. And he made this face. And keep in mind, this is like the most broiest bro neck beard dude ever. And he's like, ugh, this is all lesbian music, bro. And he like throws my iPod at me.
Okay, Jason, problematic move. However.
No, hella problematic. But the thing is, he wasn't wrong, because that generally was the vibe of the playlist.
Yeah.
But, and it's like, I didn't want to be like, no, you're wrong. But at the same time, I guess he was wondering why I was listening to it. So this summer, and he does this a lot, so almost every week, he goes to me, what are you listening to today? Because at this point, he knows I'm listening to something weird. Because in his brain, he cannot figure out why me and someone who looks like me is listening to the music that I'm listening to. Which, again, problematic. So every time he would grab my iPod, I would make sure I was listening to the weirdest thing. And a lot of the songs that were on that playlist ended up in the ones we're going to be talking about tonight, which is why I bring up 2005. So I needed to find weirder stuff to listen to fuck with him.
Yeah.
I got put onto so much extra music.
Also, what the fuck's wrong with lesbian music? Nothing.
Exactly.
Jason.
So with that in mind, we decided we were going to put ourselves in the throes of another playlist episode because these always go so well for us as far as our friendship.
Okay, so this started out, this started out as us being like, let's just put together a playlist of like 10 songs each from like 2005 and we'll just bullshit about it and it'll be fun. And then immediately both of us were like, 10 songs is not enough songs.
Not nearly enough. Who are we fooling?
So then we basically, in order to keep mom and dad from fighting, we allowed ourselves to put as many songs on the playlist as we want. And what we're going to do is use a random number generator to basically talk about 10 songs. But that leaves us off the hook to not have to actually build a 10 song playlist.
Right. Because there's no way. 2005 had so many bangers. Weirdly enough, not as many as maybe 04, which would have been worse. And maybe not as much as 06 would have been even weirder, but there's a significant amount of stuff where I went through this whole list being like, I don't fucking remember this coming out in 05, and I kept finding more stuff. And it's like ants, where it's like, if you see one, imagine there's probably a million behind them.
I kept getting angry because I'm like, it would be like, oh, hell yeah, Modest Mouse. That Modest Mouse came out in 05, didn't it? Nope, 04. That Stars album came out in 05, didn't it? Nope, 04.
No.
It did.
No.
September 2004, I looked it up.
There's no way. We're talking about Set Yourself on Fire, right?
Yeah, I looked it up.
I thought I had it. Sorry, hold on. Let me talk in front of the mic. I thought I had it. I'm crashing out right now because like,
I looked it up.
There's no way that came out in 05. No.
I looked it up.
You looked it up, but I was really hoping you were wrong because now all right, so set the thing to 96.
Womp, womp.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but I was like, no, thank you for, okay. Oh no, I'm so sorry. That's so rude of me. But I just had like a meltdown in real time realizing shit. I was so excited because I thought that came out in 05. I thought it was good.
We're going to have to go back in time and do 04 and do 06 because, again, so many things that I thought happened in 2005 happened in 2004 or 2006. Mm-hmm. It was a bummer. However, a lot of good shit did come out in 2005.
Agreed.
So how many songs are on your playlist? You want to tell the nice people?
Say the line, Bart!
96.
Yeah!
Well, there was 97, but there's now 96 because Stars doesn't count. God damn it.
I'll get the bummery part out of the way. So my playlist was a cool, even 40 songs. I loved it. It was great. One of those songs was from Late Registration, and I went back and forth on it, and eventually it was just like, man, I don't want to have a good time here. So I took it off. So my playlist is 39 songs.
I really tried to keep it condensed because obviously the more songs you have, the less I'm likely to land on something that I probably would want to talk about. Mm-hmm. But I figure it's the only way to stay fair. So I don't have to sit there and try to reason away almost 100 songs.
There's like 3 songs on this playlist that if they roll, I'm not excited to talk about them. But they are good songs. So, shall we get the numbers generating?
Hell yeah.
Who's first?
You go first because I've already embarrassed myself enough.
Okay. So,
I will roll for you.
Yes.
Once I figure out where the goddamn thing is. No, straight up, where did it go? Oh, God. Thanks, God, for post. Okay. All right. So, I'm going to roll. So, we got the Tegan and Sarah number, 19.
19. Oh, God. We're starting out sad. It's Casimir Pulaski Day by Sufjan Stevens.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So if you don't know this song, it's about a girl that dies from cancer.
Wow.
It is. No, okay. So I love this album though. And this is my favorite song off of it. And I get that it's sad, and we've established, again, go back to the last 50-ish episodes, we've established that I have the capacity to be sad. It's a beautiful song, and he sings the crap out of it. And shout out Chicago, I guess. I don't know. I guess I don't really have a ton to say about this song in particular, other than it's good and I like it and it's pretty and it's sad. Cancer's bad. Oh Lord. It's okay. It's also like 9 o'clock on a Friday. It's been a very long week, so just
no, yeah. This week is low-key blue chunks.
Yeah. So let your parents be parents. All right. Are you ready?
Ready.
Let's do it. All right. Song number 30.
Yo, I could Beck. All right, cool.
Nice.
This is a stupid factoid that's not gonna mean anything to anybody, but E-Pro by Beck is one of the first songs I ever downloaded with money off of iTunes.
That's some 2005 shit.
I don't know if I should mention the other songs I bought with it, because this is such a 2005 thing. So it was this, Little Sister by Queens of the Stone Age, Why Do You Love Me by Garbage, one of the Motion City soundtrack songs that I can't think of right now off of Commit This to Memory, but then one of the, of course, the last one I downloaded was so sad, was Beverly Hills.
Beverly Hills.
At the time, like, New Weezer, Let's Go. This is off the heels of, like, the reunion, Green Album's happening, Maltrape, but, like, I don't know, man. Thankfully, I'm like, oh, this song sucks, but E-Pro pretty much saved the day, because we both love Beck a lot, so very much, and this album is great, and honestly, this song is really fun, and it's really fun to sing in Rock Band.
I forgot this album happened this year.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, dang. So
Beck, I was going to say, Beck didn't make my list because I forgot that this album came out in 2005.
Okay, quick question then. If you had put on here, what would you have put on here if you remember any of the songs from it?
Because I'm the first to admit that I actually kind of like a later Beck rather than Beck around this time.
Oh, okay.
I remember I liked Girl a lot.
You're up, right?
Indeed.
Let me roll you a number. I'ma roll you a number. Which is supposed to sound like Right You a Love Song, which I don't know how the key of that song is, so
He's gonna roll me a number, cause I asked for it, cause I need one, you see.
Alright, well, you would have to Coheed number 78, but you don't have 78 songs on here, so let me re-roll that again.
Okay.
73, cause, okay.
There are 39 songs on this playlist.
I'm not even going to mention the numbers. I'm just going to keep rolling until I find a number that's actually... Well, this is awful. Okay, here we go. Number seven.
Oh, God. Okay, I swear there's actually fun stuff on this playlist. We're just not going to talk about any of it, apparently. Because this is the song Late by Ben Folds, which is a song in tribute to Elliott Smith passing away.
But not for nothing. It's a sweet song.
Yeah, it's a very sweet song. Ben's talked about it in interviews a lot. Like, they had kind of an interesting relationship in that, like, they weren't super close, but they toured together a few times. And he just remembers, like, playing basketball with Elliott Smith, which, like, if you've ever seen Ben Folds, like, he's not. He doesn't strike you as an athlete, and apparently is not an athlete. And that's why there's a line in there about, like, basketball and things like that, and it's a very sweet song. This album from Ben Folds is one of my favorites from him, if not my favorite from him. It's really, like, kind of jazzy and low-key, and I like it a lot. It's not doing the same thing that, like, Ben Folds 5 is doing, where we're doing, like, big silly songs with big trumpet sections and things like that. It's much more kind of somber and mellow. I like it a lot.
Yeah, because I'm not always well-versed in his solo stuff. Like, I love Ben Folds 5. Specifically, like, you know, Reinhold Messner Blindfold 5 specifically, because I think that album is, it's so good. But yeah, so anytime I get an opportunity to listen to the solo stuff, I'm usually here for, like I said, and while it is sad, of course, you know, losing Elliott Smith and all that, but it's such a great song and it is a really nice tribute. And, you know, the sincerity and earnestness of Ben Folds is, well, of course, one of the best things about him. So it's still a good listen, albeit a little heavy.
You got to give me better roles, man.
My bad.
I can't have that many more sad songs on here. All right. So here you go. TJ Oshii, 74.
Speaking of that playlist that our friend Jason gave me so much shit about, Laura Veers.
Nice. Damn.
Black Gold Blues.
That's one I haven't thought about in ages and ages.
Oh, have you not listened to, they're in a band with like Katie Lang and who else? Not Nico Case. Who else is it? But they're doing like, kind of like Boy Genius shit, but for like older folk.
Yeah, I was gonna say elder millennial, like not even elder millennial, like Gen X.
Yeah, it's like Gen X Boy Genius.
No, please send me a link to that shit so I can put it straight in my ear holes.
All right, 1 second. I'm gonna see if I can pull this up.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Nico Case, Katie Lang, and Laura Veers. And I'm like, this is the greatest team up, and no disrespect, but Boy Genius is cool, but Case, Lang, Veers, it's goated. They're so good. But we're not talking about the three of them, because we'll be here all day talking about them.
Yes.
So Laura Veers around this time is somebody I only know of tangentially, because 05, as much as I'm doing metalcore shit, that fall is like the third year I'm doing like hipster shit. And I hadn't even heard of any of her music, but like looking at the album art, I'm like, I just know that whatever's on this is going to slap so hard. And I'd always just see that CD at like Borders, because I'm dating myself again. but basically being like, I know this music is going to be great. So eventually I pulled the trigger, got the album, and it's so good. And if you like, you know, acoustic indie music with some folk vibes, it's mid-2000s indie singer-songwriter shit, which is totally my vibe. So, like, it's a great album. It's a really fun song because this one's a little bit more upbeat, but the drums on this song are so fun.
Again, I'm kind of more familiar with some of her later stuff, because I guess she's still doing shit, but, like, the, like, early 2010s kind of stuff.
If you like this song, you'll like the rest of her stuff, so please go download it or stream it. Whatever it is, just please, you know, be cool about it.
Yeah.
All right, so let me spin you a number. All right, come on, something good here for my homie, so I don't... 29.
Oh, hell yeah, okay. Now we're having fun. It's The Skin of My Yellow Country Teeth by Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah.
God, talk about a band I had not thought about literally since around this time.
Talk about a band that I love with my whole heart. This album is damn near perfect. The song slaps. They're a weird little band that I don't really know what you would call them. There's kind of, it's just like indie noise shit. But it, like, they happened before like your typical like indie noise shit bands were like a thing. So they were just they're just weird, but they're so good. I love them so much.
I would put them almost in the same category of those, like, I don't want to say proto indie hipster bands, but like kind of not right next to them, but tangential to like Broken Social Scene.
Yeah, who's also on my list.
Because they're kind of doing relatively like similar shit, but like there's just a couple of bands you name where it's like, you know exactly the person who's listening to this. And it's kind of a rad thing, even if we do like joke about it a lot.
It's me. It's hipster girl shit.
Right. If you like them, you've basically described Bergie. Lovingly, of course.
The self-titled album from them is just peak. They're so good. I'm looking up if they're still doing stuff. They put out an album in 2021.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they're also one of those bands that has put out a lot of stuff. This sounds mean, but I don't mean it to be mean. They've put out a lot of stuff, regardless whether or not anybody gives a shit.
Well, because like there was that very short amount of time where like you couldn't go anywhere on like music blogs and not hear that band name.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's inherently their fault. It's just obviously, you know, people moved on to whatever the next big thing is. And, you know, is that that thing? And I feel bad for doing this, and I'm guilty of it, is thinking a band isn't actively still doing shit only because, like, they're not getting mentioned a lot.
Mm-hmm.
My bad. Clap your hands and say yeah.
I feel like they're one of those band names that, or one of those bands that hit on music blogs around this time, like that mid-2000s kind of thing, just because the name was a little bit silly and it sticks in your head.
Yeah, I can agree to that.
Yeah, they're cool.
Well, you got to clap your hands first, then you say yeah.
Darn it, I always get it mixed up. All right, let's roll you a number here. 60.
All right, now we're going to get into the shit that Ashley hates. So, I didn't realize that Trivium's album Ascendancy came out in 2005. I guess there was a song that was released as a single the year prior and was on the Headbangers Ball compilation that I bought when I worked at an FYE in 04, which, talking about all the shitty jobs I've had, only lasted there for like a month. But even though this is technically a 2004 memory, like I said, I worked for a month. I think it was either September and October of 04. And in that time, of course, this is like FYE in like the most like yuppie upper middle class area. So I stuck out like a sore thumb. And this was before like when, what is it? FYE was doing like those stupid like CD inserts. Like you had to play, like it was just literally just discs of like, oh, and you just heard the new song from JoJo, not Siwa, the cool one that.
Get out!
Leave!
Right now!
Now, is it now? Is it, or is, wait, what's the second thing she shouts? Because I feel like I'm getting this so wrong right now.
It is. Oh man, that's the crossover, man, that we never got.
The Migos JoJo? I feel like they should, because she's still doing shit. Sorry, I'll swear I'm getting the Trivium, but JoJo's so much cooler. I'm sorry. But it was stuff like that, and like I know this is around a time when like Nelly's Sweatsuit had come out.
Hell yeah.
Hillary Duff's doing shit. And like, it's a lot of pop shit, which is why a lot of it ended up in my iPod once I got fired, because I listened to it all day. So I think early on, though, it bothered me like, oh, all this pop shit. Cause again, I'm still doing shitty post-high school stuff. At this point, I'm hunting down anything that's not pop. So I really just dove into like metalcore shit. And one of the songs was, it was a song I think it was like Light to Flies by Trivium, which is a fine song, but it's doing a lot. It's just, you know, and Matt Heafy's a legend, and he's been doing it for a while, and they're a great band, but I don't like the harsh vocals. Where at least on this song, it's varied enough where we're doing a lot of cool, like, 80s metal at this point, which is so funny that, like, Metallica's like, oh, no one's doing guitar solos, when, like, another 2 years, we're doing full-on 80s revivalist shit.
Like, the darkness happens.
Right, the darkness happened! Oh my god, if they had just waited.
I rewatched that Train Records the other night. I was just like, oh my god. You want to talk about a bunch of spoiled babies. Good lord.
Oh my god. What's even funnier to me is I can imagine somebody going to them being like, guys, I got word 80s metal is going to come back soon. And then basically like Lars being like, and James Hetfield being like Homer when he tried to buy a gun.
But I'm mad now.
But no, Trivium.
I have nothing to contribute to this because, like, that's a band name that I've heard, but, like, fuck if I know, man. I, to my credit, pat myself on the back, I always listen to your playlist when we do these playlist episodes until you hand me one that's 6 hours long, and I'm like, I just can't, sweetheart. I'm so sorry.
And that's fine. And I wasn't expecting you to listen to every one of these songs, because there was stuff on here that I put on here that I knew would be fun to talk about. There's other, because you know what it was? I did that thing of, I want to do the list because I think it's something that would be fun to talk about. But then I start thinking of everything that I listened to in that year. And I'm like, not all this is going to get talked about. But basically, I listened to Trivium because at the time I was just annoyed at pop shit until I got fired. And I'm like, shit, I like pop shit. So... So this one isn't like super impactful to me. I just think it's a fun song, but it is just funny to think about. This song and this album comes out not too long after St. Anger, when we're again doing 80s metal shit. So it's just, it's more fun to poke at Metallica than it is to talk about Trivium.
Fair enough.
All right, so let me roll you a number.
Give me a good one.
All right, come on. No whammies, no whammies. Stop. How many? No, you have like 39, I think so.
I have 39.
Oh, you do have 39?
Yes.
Oh, shit. Well, 30. I hit the button again.
30?
Correct.
The generator hates you. Number 30 is Na 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 by the Kaiser Chiefs. Adrian's favorite band.
Okay, I swear it was an... I don't hate this band.
Yes, you do.
What was that one band? Did they do that stupid Ruby, Ruby, Ruby song?
Yes, they did. That is also them. That's not this album. That's the album.
Okay, because I'm like, I remember that was a thing when I was working at FYE, and that song, I'm like, Ruby, please just make this man shut up.
That song's about a dog named Ruby.
Oh, okay. See, now, wow, now the whole audience is going to turn against you. Like, you're angry about a song about a dog, you piece of shit.
To be fair, that song, a little bit annoying.
Okay,
even cool. I can admit that. I like the Kaiser Chiefs.
But I know you love them, so please tell me about the song.
It's a snotty British block party ripoff song, honestly.
Oh, that's a fight I know you and I got into, is the Kaiser Chiefs versus block party. And you're like, yeah, fuck block party. And I'm like, well, fuck Kaiser Chiefs.
Okay. But also, like, saying fuck block party makes me feel a little bit problematic. Because I didn't mean it like that.
No, but his name is a block party. No, you're fine. You're allowed to not like block party. Because I know, like, and trust me, I don't even like modern block party. Like, I jumped off the train after, like, the third album. Because once that fourth one came, I'm like, yeah, nah, this ain't it for me. I'm out.
Block Party and Kaiser Chiefs, especially at this time, are doing the same kind of thing. Just the Kaiser Chiefs are doing, like, again, the snotty British version of it. And I came to the Kaiser Chiefs first. So to me, that kind of like kind of shitty guitars, a little bit off key, singing early 2000s, like garage revival-y shit, like that to me is always going to be like a Kaiser Chiefs thing. So yeah, by the time I got to Block Party, I'm like, I have a band that does this already, but I appreciate your efforts. Thank you.
Me was like, Kaiser Chiefs, all right, they're here. I'm like, eh, okay. And then Block Party came. I was like, oh, so I don't need to go back. All right. So maybe someone should talk to us on Blue Sky. You can just do at TLAT Podcast. You'll find us, or on Instagram, TLAT Podcast, or I don't know, email us. At TLATpodcast@gmail.com. Tell us which do you prefer, which is better, and who's washed.
This feels like one of those things that Elizabeth has an opinion on.
Yes. Actually, yes. Elizabeth, if you're listening to this, I'm going to talk to you directly. Hi, how are you? Hope you're doing well. Which one do you like? Because this is literally just The Simpsons putting Maggie in the room and telling her which sibling she loves more. And Elizabeth goes and hugs the TV. Love ya.
No, when we finally do the format versus fun episode.
Yes.
That's that episode.
However, to make it fair, we have to do dog problems versus like aim and ignite. Because like I feel like we can't do some nights because that I don't think it works as well. I don't know. But
because yeah, some nights is a.
You can say it. Go ahead.
Sometimes it's kind of a bad album. Yeah, I said it.
But it's so fun. It's objectively bad, but it's a fun bad.
Get a drummer. That album goes from bad to fun bad if you get a drummer. I'm telling you. That fucking drum machine, it absolutely destroys that album for me. But I also get is whatever, 2012. Shit happens.
Some of it might be memories related to it, though, but it's still songs will pop on, and it's goofy as shit. Ultimately, it's Nate Ruiz's, like, audition reel. But think about it, though. As soon as that album pops off, like, at this point, he's, like, writing for, like, Pink. He's doing collabs with Young Thug. Like, dude's just, at this point, he's just performing with anybody. It's just, so it's just, I don't know. I love that album so much.
I know. It just, All right. As a working person who exists in late stage capitalism, I get selling out. I do. And like no fault to him for doing so. It bums me out because I like the stuff before significantly more.
Right. But granted, he went into mostly just songwriting, which is honestly, I hate to say it, but it's a much better career path to go into than just straight like performing. Because I hate to say it, I feel like had that not happened, we may not have heard of him after some nights.
I know, but his voice is so good. Anyway, that Kaiser Chiefs album is also very good. Check it out if mid-2000s like indie rock is your thing and you want to hear like soccer hooligan shit. Let's get you a number here. 89.
Well, I can't add this one because this is the one I meant to delete because turns out this did not come out in 2005.
Let's talk about Stars.
No, Stars is great. Dang, I didn't even notice this. Not my favorite Stars album, but there's some joints on here.
No, this is my favorite Stars album.
No, it's not my favorite, but I don't think they've made a bad album, even though... No, actually, that one actually isn't that bad. It just had the unfortunate thing of following up The Five Ghosts, which is honestly the best Stars album. I don't know. It's Ageless Beauty, and I'm going to move on. It's a great song. I just didn't realize it didn't come out in this year, so all right. I skip a turn since I sold.
You don't have to skip a turn. We can roll you another one. That Stars album's really good. I really like it. Also, they're Canadian, and we love a Canadian in this household, so.
It is actually a really good album, though I'm not as familiar with the newer stuff. I had to go back because I feel like I missed maybe like the last two albums. I think Capitol Hill was the last one, or On Capitol Hill.
There we go. Now we're getting somewhere. I didn't know that song was on the OC.
Oh, God. The OC. And like, what year did Rooney happen? Remember when that was supposed to be like the next big thing?
Dang. My mom, bless her heart. We love my mom. My mom wanted a much more stereotypically feminine teenage daughter than the one that she got, and I feel for her. I'm sorry. But she like subscribed to like teen magazines for me.
Oh.
And all I did was like cut them up and make collages and shit. You know, I don't care about makeup and stuff like that. Whatever, who cares? But even I remember they put fucking Rooney in those teen magazines being like, this is it. This is the next thing, man. Get ready to put these little teenage boys on your wall. Rooney.
It was just so weird that we're trying to make Rooney, which is like weird, like faux 70s revival shit, into like teen heartthrobs. Mm-hmm. It's weird that they came out around the time of like Kings of Leon, and the trajectory of both those bands is very odd.
I hate Kings of Leon.
We're going to end up talking about them one day, and that's probably going to be where our relationship gets strained, because do I like them? No. But their singles always kind of slap low-key.
The first one or two albums before they sing about herpes or whatever. I don't know what Sex is on Fire is about. I'm assuming it's about herpes.
Pretty sure it doesn't.
I'm just saying.
I have it on good authority.
It feels like if your sex is on fire, you should go to the doctor.
I'm not going to lie. It's a bad metaphor.
It's a very funny metaphor.
You have to crowdsource that.
Sometimes it's not first thought, best thought. I'll tell you that much.
I know that for damn sure for myself, so yeah. Also, what's the one song, Use Somebody, is great because now it's been repurposed for like TikTok memes.
My mom and I used to do this thing when we were in the car together. There are certain songs that are better to meow to.
I'm just listening to your story. The silence is not indicative of anything.
I'm trying to figure out how to tell it and not sound insane, but it's there's kind of no way to really do it.
We're like 55 episodes in. Let's just cut this fucking.
Okay, so this was a thing that we started doing in like whenever that first like American Idol season happened, because it was Kelly Clarkson that did it.
Oh, damn.
Kelly Clarkson has a quality to her voice that she kind of, at least early on, we love Kelly Clarkson in this house, but she's got this quality to her voice that she kind of, when especially when she's getting a little loud in the volume, it gets a little screechy, kind of like a cat.
No, it definitely does.
So then instead of, I'm trying to think of like a Kelly Clarkson song. Fuck. Why is nothing coming front of mind?
I can provide one. This is not hers, though. I don't know if you remember on her show, she did a cover of Closer by Tegan and Sara.
It's good.
Okay, but not the live version.
No.
That was a little hard to hear because that microphone was redlining.
Like, since you've been gone. Meow, 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 like that. That was the shit that we would do in the car to entertain ourselves. Kings of Leon is a good band to do that to. That dude has a similar quality. Also, you can't understand what the fuck he's saying anyway, so who cares?
I know like two words of a song.
Patrick Stump, he's good at that. Fall Out Boy's a great meowing band. It's not meowing, it's mowing, but close enough. Anyway, can we please move on? I feel fierce.
Sorry, no, I was going to let you finish your story because I don't want to be like boring because I find this entertaining. Do we keep it in? I don't know. We'll figure it out after recording, but this is wonderful. Because this is why I love doing this podcast. Yes, we do hang out and we talk amongst ourselves, playing games, whatever, but it's here where there's a version of Ashley I don't get anywhere else, and I love it.
I haven't thought about fucking mowing to the radio in probably 15 years, so that just unlocked a weird core memory for me.
And that's why we're here.
Yes.
All right, so who's next? I'll roll for you.
Okay.
12.
Here's one, okay, of Montreal.
Hell yeah. Let's go.
Yeah, we're pretending we don't exist, and we're pretending and we're going to Antarctica.
This song, I don't care, man. This song still goes. It's still so fun.
So I've seen Of Montreal exactly one time. I went with a person that I was dating for like 2 seconds, and they were very, very mad that Of Montreal did not play this.
Did they realize how many albums they had? Probably even up to that point, like hundreds.
Yeah, and it was like 2007.
Oh, so wait, did you see them during the Hiss and Fauna years?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so jealous of you. Did they play The Past is a Grotesque Animal?
God, I don't remember.
Okay, that's fine. Sorry, I'm geeking remember. Out.
No, please no, continue. No, you're fine.
I'm so jealous of you.
No, I had a great time. I drank too much. But I just like, that's the main thing that I remember is that being so pissed off.
I want to hear the Antarctica song. They didn't fucking play it. How dare they? It's their biggest song. Their most popular song. Blah, blah.
And it just like watching them throw a temper tantrum about it after the fact was very funny.
Which is weirder? Crashing out for going to a show, not hearing a big single, or crashing out, not hearing an obscure, like, deep cut? You know? It's like...
I've been both.
Same.
So, like, maybe I shouldn't judge, but also, like, okay, the last time I saw the Decemberists, they didn't play Mariner's Revenge, which they like almost always do consistently as an encore, but instead they did the 20-minute Even the Garden song.
See, but that shit would be so fun to me.
No, it was one of those that, like, I wasn't mad. I was just kind of like, aw. I wanted to scream like I was being eaten by a whale. That's the fun part. I'm sad I didn't get to do it this time.
Is it cheating to have your entire encore be one song because it's about the length of an encore?
That's literally what they did. Honestly, peak efficiency, I'm kind of here for it as a big efficiency door.
My indie rock dad is throwing for content. Why?
He's also getting up there. Like, I get it.
He's not that much older than me, is he?
I'm looking it up. Colin Malloy. Born 1974.
Oh, so he's like, what, 51? He's fine. He's great. That's like me going to a December show being mad that they're not performing like Song for Myla Goldberg.
This picture on Wikipedia of him from 2006, he's a baby. He's just a little zygote. Just a little zygote with a tie. Oh my god, he's so cute.
Oh, is this when he still had like the swoop a little bit?
That swoop is pronounced.
Right, with the glasses? Oh, come on. Honestly, though, it might be his best fit. I don't care.
No, like, objectively adorable. Love, baby, zygote, call him Loy.
Because what was wild is, when I first saw him, I thought we were just doing some, like, low-key emo shit until it's, like, half of this was, like, sea shanties. I'm like, whoa, this is not the band I thought it was based off of his look. And I was kind of here for it, but a little disappointed that we didn't at least get a little bit of that vibe.
Have you seen them live?
No, never.
Never?
No.
We gotta rectify that shit, my dude. They are a delight and a half.
But a lot of my concert-going ventures, I rarely did too many hipster bands. I think the closest I came was probably the St. Vincent David Byrne show, which was a blast, and I wish you were there for that.
God, I wish I was there for that.
Because talking about the whole of Montreal thing, I hated that people were using St. Vincent's songs to do intermission, and it was really shitty. Like, the crowd was mostly just not reactive. I'm over here just geeking out. Meanwhile, everybody decides to just come to life and starts, like, turning up when they play Burning Down a House at the... Like, did you just come here to hear Talking Heads?
Because, sorry, sweetheart, that's not what's happening.
Yeah, near crowds can be trash sometimes, but that's okay. We love Decemberists out here, though.
Yeah, we do. I saw them for the first time in 2006.
Crane Wife?
Yeah, it would have been the Crane Wife because that happened October 3rd, 2006. A friend of mine was interning at like a college radio station and won tickets and was just like, do you want to go see the Decemberists? I'm like, hell the fuck yeah, I do. Let's go.
She's like, pushed her over, took both tickets and ran.
No, please, twist my arm.
Oh no, however will I manage?
No, My Brightest Diamond opened for them, who Ooh. Ended up becoming, again, one of those bands that I love so much. Like, okay, so My Brightest Diamond, for those who don't know, I'm spacing on what her name is, but she was a professional opera singer who essentially got bored and just started doing like weird, like solo rock shit. And now it's like kind of chamber pop sort of stuff. I don't know. The first album is still my favorite because it's kind of dark and creepy and weird. And that was the album that she was promoting when she opened for the Decemberists. So it was that song where she's singing about like dead dogs and shit. And then,
oh my God.
And then Colin Malloy and the Decemberists doing Crane Wife. So it is a bit of a bleak evening, but I love that shit. So I had a good time.
I mean, to be fair though, a lot of people die in Decemberist songs.
Yeah, well,
a lot of people die. Either they're getting shot or they're drowning, like, or they get shot, don't die, but then fall and still drown. It's just
you know, we can do.
I think there's been a few stabbings here and there, if I'm not mistaken. Like, definitely a lot of explosions, a lot of bombs.
Yeah.
It's like the most metal band that's not metal, if you really think about it.
I love them so much.
I know. They're great. Oh, man. So I feel bad because I feel like I have to vindicate Ashley. So I feel like we're going to do a two-parter on this one.
All my songs were sad. There's fun shit on my list.
Mine are just louder.
Are we depressed?
No, we are dead ass just Dean Portman and fucking... We really are just the Bash Brothers. Like, they're both sad. One of them is just yells through their sadness more.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Fool Luigi's just like, oh. And that's then we me. Just clothesline people for like three periods straight.
That's right. We got to redo those episodes.
Oh, shit. Do we even have time to do those?
It doesn't have to be anytime soon.
No, I know, but I've been wanting to do it for a while.
Yeah.
And honestly, I'm mad I missed last year, which would have been cool for the 30th for D2.
Yeah. When did D3 come out?
96.
I mean, we can always do it for that. I know no one likes that movie, but you do.
Is it a good movie? Yes. It's a great movie, but just... Oh, we'll talk about it. Sorry, now I'm getting into... It's bad, but it's amazing at the same time.
It's, you know what it is? It's coming from the second movie is what makes it feel bad.
Yeah, because I think they were trying to tie it back to the first one.
Yeah, and making it such a smaller scope than the second one, it feels like they cut the budget. And that may or may not even be the case, but that's what it feels like.
It feels like the Lethal Weapon 3 of hockey movies.
I love you. You're the best.
But you know what I mean, though, right?
Yes. Like,
after the second one, which is balls to the wall, like, insanity, you're like, where do you go from there? Oh, we're just dealing with some crooked cop that looks like an ex-porn star who's, like, shooting people with armor-piercing bullets. Like, no one cares. And then this weird subplot where we're, like, tackling gang violence because it's the early 90s. We have to always have a take on the fucking, like, L.A. Like, I don't know. That movie's so fucking weird. But it's infinitely watchable. It's just, you got to watch it with a disclaimer over your head the whole time, being like, not the second one.
Yeah. If you're looking for the second one, this ain't it.
Oh, man. Before we go, we should probably talk more about where we are, because we have some new places.
We are. Some new places.
So first things first, finally got a domain, so that way it's a less of a URL. So if you just go to TLATpodcast.com, so that's T-L-A-T podcast.com, all one word, and that way it'll take you right to our page, and there are links to our social sites like Blue Sky and Instagram. I run the Blue Sky, Ash runs the Instagram, and you can see all our episodes there, our link there, as well as our playlist, which this episode will also be on that playlist, as is the follow-up. And we are on YouTube. So if you search Talking Like a Teen Podcast, we are on YouTube. We're in the process of kind of retrofitting a lot of our archive to upload, but we've been periodically posting clips of past episodes. They're a lot of fun. And honestly, if you like our show and you're on YouTube, please subscribe, like our stuff, you know, share it and all the good things. Well, we have to smash the like button, right?
Yeah, smash the like button. And ring the bell. We got to figure out if our subscribers are an army or a navy. What branch of the military are they? Talking like a team, special forces out here.
Sorry, I just snorted. Oh my god, no. No, but I just thought of it, like, basically a bunch of, like, Tom Clancy ass, like, Navy SEALs coming up out of the water with, like, infrared goggles, but they're listening to, like, Elliot Smith in the Decembrists.
Yeah. It's like SEAL Team 6 is swimming in, listening to fucking A Basement from a Hill.
All of a sudden, you're just sneaking through, like, the small little lake. All of a sudden, you just hear sniffling. It's like, Jensen, are you crying? Lock him. It's so sad, man. Fucking blow a hole like 6 month op because one dude's in his feelings like he just broke up with somebody.
The guy just cheers. He got swallowed by the whale with the guy that killed his mom. Now he gets to kill him. Vengeance!
So shout out to the notification special forces. All game some game all. Oh shit.
Hell yeah. Hey, I'm glad we got that figured out. That's been weighing on my mind ever since you started getting into this YouTube stuff.
Oh no. Sorry, I got lost in the bit. I keep thinking of scenarios and just songs that they're just sneaking through, like assassinating people, but it's just like the goofiest shit. Oh man. Okay, that I'm crying. We also have an email. TLATpodcast@gmail.com. Drop us a line. We're always here to answer some questions, take suggestions. Please be nice. Don't yell at us. Be respectful.
Yeah, I have access to the email now, so please don't send us pictures of your junk. Thanks.
Okay. Dang. Yes, please don't, though. Like, I didn't know we were in danger of that happening, and now I'm scared. Please don't do that.
I mean, like, don't do that regardless, but now that I have access to the email, definitely doubly don't do that.
Oh, my God. But, yeah. That'll do it for this episode of Talking Like a Teen, and,
don't let your special ops team get swallowed by a whale, unless their mortal enemy happens to also be in there, in which case, let them, because vengeance.